For Ravishly.com, I'm Jerry Strauss, and this is Ladies We Love, where we get the chance to chat with some of the most fascinating women from some of the most fascinating worlds, and certainly one of the ladies out there who has been really affecting all of us and inspiring all of us, really just a beacon of hope out there for us all, none other than the host of the mega popular show, The Biggest Loser. Allison Sweeney is with us. Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to be here. Love the intro. Thank you.
Oh, so great to talk to you. And, you know, we've been watching Biggest Loser all season. We've been obviously watching for years. For those who don't know or aren't familiar with the show, it's a reality competition, a journey for people to find a better and more fit life. And you have been sort of the face of that show for so long. When you look back on your time with The Biggest Loser, what do you think the overall effect has been, not only on viewers, but just generally the fact that the show exists? Do you think there's been a solid and detectable effect on our society?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that I meet people every day who comment on the fact that watching the show inspires them to work out one more time that week or eat a little bit healthier that night. Or people show me on their phones their before picture. They've lost 100 pounds because The Biggest Loser, a certain contestant inspired them to lose 50. You know, I hear those stories almost every day, and it's just so, God, I can't even tell you. It feels so good to know that I'm a part of a show that's part of the solution. We're trying to help people talk about it, help people get tools that they need, not just the contestants, but the people who watch at home.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about just generally the appeal of your show, and to me, the thing that stands out the most is not only the relatable stories from the contestants, but the fact that you guys, whether it's you, whether it's the trainers that are on the show, you guys actually care. You're actually empathetic and nice to the people that you're working with. You know, I think in a lot of people's minds, a fear of pursuing a more fit life is that fear of being chastised or criticized or yelled at by some military trainer. But you guys, you put your pressure on where you need to. But certainly, you know, you above all else are there to sort of be on their side.
What I'll say about that is I think it's really important. First of all, I think our health and our wellness is really important, and it isn't something that people should just accept the status quo and, oh, you know, well, this is where I am, like, oh well, you know, you gotta get inspired to do something. And people have to figure out what inspires them. And some people, like actually myself, I really like more military, like I like that. It makes me feel like someone believes I can really do it, you know, like there's something really motivating about it. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people like, you know, and but that's true of any, you know, any gym you go to. That's why there's so many different classes. That's why there's so many different ways to figure out what you like about your body, what you like to do to move. And just keep trying. If you haven't found a class that you like, try something different. If you haven't found, you know, a trainer that inspires you, maybe go out with a friend and go for a walk. You know, just find something that gets you outside and gets you moving, you know. And that, because if you don't, you're not going to keep doing it. And so that's the whole premise of even, you know, what we're working on right now with the Blue Ribbon Council is we're talking and trying to encourage people to make little changes. I think, you know, when you're in the new year and everyone's talking about resolutions, you find yourself saying, like, oh, I want to, these are the, you know, huge differences I want in my life this year. And inevitably, I think people find that the second that they don't stick to that course, or the second they fall short of that goal, they give up on the whole thing. And what I love is the idea of making little changes that accumulate. You know, if you make one little change this week and then you add it to a little change that you make next week, it's doable. It helps you feel successful at what you're aiming for. And then those little changes add up to big success.
And the reason why I think that you, Allison, are someone that people really listen to when you say stuff like this, and just generally when we get to know your story, is that I think in a lot of cases people will look at people on television or in film or whatever and be like, well, you know, of course they're fit. Of course they're in great shape. That's pretty much like their job all day. That's all they do. You came from a totally different world, of course, obviously. Acting, you were on Days of Our Lives for 20 years, or over 20 years. And you sought after...
I have a husband. I have things that make me busy, you know, and I struggled with my weight when I was a kid. And I know what it feels like to be unhappy when you look in the mirror, to feel like disappointed and to not have the tools to make it better. I remember, you know, falling for the fat-free craze, or, you know, what can I could buy those fat-free candies. Like, oh, there's no fat in it. I'll eat the whole box, you know? And and so you just don't have the information, and you need to have the tools to make healthy choices for yourself. You need to know. I mean, I've sat down and I remember as a kid, like, you know, whatever, a teenager, or ordering a Caesar salad thinking, oh, that's healthy. And meanwhile, you know, it's probably more calories than a burger. Like, it's just crazy. You know, if you don't have the information, even though you think you're trying, you could be shooting yourself in the foot. And that's really frustrating, I think, for a lot of people. So it's really important to give yourself those tools and to give yourself the information. And I love the idea of, like I said, you know, if you stick to the outside of the grocery store, for example, you know, you're in the veggie section, you're in the fruit section, you're in the protein section, you know, you can buy yourself a little bit of all those things and like get back to your house and know that your house is filled with food that you can actually eat. You have a bowl of blueberries right there, ready to snack on, or you can put them in like my favorite, you know. And I guess what I was going to say is that it can also taste good. Being nutritious and taking care of your body can actually be delicious. And like my favorite snack that I eat almost every day is Greek yogurt with blueberries and cinnamon, and it tastes like so delicious and decadent, and yet it's actually really good for you. And I think that people get caught up thinking that a diet has to be deprivation, like, oh, if it tastes good, I probably shouldn't eat it. And I don't think that's true.
Yeah, and I mean, all these strategies that you're talking about, these are things that you live by and things that people can relate to. It's real life stuff. It's not hours of your day. It's just common sense in a lot of cases, and just having that dedication. So you have to be kind of like a role model for normal people. I mean, it's great to see the inspirational stories on your show, people dropping 200 pounds. It's amazing. But for a lot of us, you know, it's more of a moderate situation where we're just looking to get somewhat healthier. And you're sort of like that icon, that beacon of light, that you can do it, and you can do it around a career.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, thank you. I think that the show is exactly that. I think I'm inspired by standing there with these contestants who do have such a big journey ahead of them, so much weight to lose, and to see them make these changes and be so triumphant in their success and literally winning their lives back, winning their health back 1 week at a time. It encourages me when I'm at the gym, like, yeah, you could do 10 more minutes. Yeah, you know what? You could skip that dessert tonight. Like, it's like, you know, it sort of puts it all in perspective. Like, you know what? They're working that hard. I can stick with my plan as well. And it's inspiring. And I like to let things like that motivate me and encourage me to continue on my health plan. And like the way I eat in front of my kids, you know, I want to always feel proud of the food that I let my kids see me, you know, that I eat with my children, so that they know that I'm a good role model. I want them to grow up knowing that those are the things we think about, and that's what we eat.
And it's all about priorities. It's all about maintaining, you know, what's most important to you, to your life. One of your recent big moves in the last couple of years, of course, is leaving, being in front of the camera for Days of Our Lives. You'd been a part of that show for so long. Why? What was the big life change, or what was behind the decision to make that move?
Well, I, you know, one of the things was my certainly my family at the top of the list, was just wanting to spend more time with them, wanting to have more time to be with them and be a mom and a wife, but also to pursue, you know, other creative outlets. But because of the way my schedule was so busy with both shows and then trying to be a mom too, I just felt like any other creative ideas or opportunities that came around, I just didn't have time to allow that in. And so now I feel like I have a lot more room to stretch out and grow as a writer and grow as a director and a actress and try other things and be with my kids and make breakfast and put them, you know, at school and give them their lunchbox. Like, it's been really fun.
Okay, so this is kind of an out-of-the-box question, but I have to ask you, because I know you've talked in other interviews about how crazy your schedule was, you know, filming a soap opera during the day, doing Biggest Loser later in the day at night, whatever the case may be. So your Days of Our Lives, people are crying or they're yelling at each other, or they're trying to kill each other. Biggest Loser, people are crying or they're struggling. I mean, so much emotion in your day and night. Was that exhausting for you? Did you ever just want to say, can we just like relax and just chill out for a while?
Well, it's funny because I only noticed it after I left, right? That, like, when I'm living that life and around people, we're all sort of at the height of our emotions, like, all the time. I didn't really notice it. And now that I don't spend my days doing that all the time, now is when I look back on it, like, gosh, there's a lot of tears, like, all the time. So when you're doing it, you're like, oh, that's just normal. And now that I look back and I'm like, wow, I was like, I feel like I have my nerves were always kind of frayed. Like, to your point, you know, everything was always so dramatic and everything was always so important. And it's not that it's not certainly a Big Loser. It's different because those are real emotions, you know, people really going through those journeys. But I have such a better handle on, you know, where my emotions fit into it rather than sort of always living through Sammy's emotions, I guess.
Was it hard? I mean, even in the earlier days of Biggest Loser, or maybe even now, do you feel yourself getting sort of wrapped up in the stories of these people and their ups and downs as they go through those journeys?
It's impossible not to get invested in their stories. They are amazing people, and I get to know them and to see them grow and change and learn and come out of their shell in a lot of cases. You know, they've been hiding behind the weight for a long time. So you see them as a person, their personality sort of flourish in those circumstances, and it's impossible not to just be rooting for every single one of them to succeed and make life changes that they'll stay with forever. And to see that smile on their face when they realize they can really do it, I mean, it's just so rewarding. It makes me so proud.
Do you think that over the course of your time there, do you feel like, what's changed over the years as far as the show goes? Do you think that the contestants come in with a different attitude? Is it more of, is there any aspect of not only do I want to get fit, but I want to, you know, achieve this stardom that others before me have set before it? Are there like goals that they have besides just that the weight loss?
Oh, right, the weight loss is in a lot of instances preventing them from what their goals are, or even finding out it makes you feel so closed off. In a lot of situations, they felt like I didn't even know that I might want that goal, you know, like that I never even opened myself up to the opportunity because I felt so shut down with life. So in some instances, yeah, there's, I want to get married, I want to have kids, and the weight is, there have been a number of women on our show who couldn't have children because of their obesity. And so, you know, that was a really clear connection between the weight loss and, you know, wanting to start a family. There's other instances in which, you know, oh, I'm a lawyer, or I'm a medic, I'm a police officer, you know, I need to get healthy. I want to get healthy so I can be the best at my job. I can be the best role model. And so, yeah, the weight is never just about the number on the scale. It's always about what is limiting you from doing in the rest of your life. And I think that's such a great thing to bring up, because, it's important to be healthy for your body, but it's also important to keep in mind that when you're setting goals for yourself, that the goals aren't about, oh, I want to, like, oh, I'll be happy when I see that number on the scale or when I fit into that size pair of jeans. What you're really, the weight is really just the symptom of, like, getting you towards getting you what you want in life and helping you achieve those goals. It's athletic or just the confidence builder in yourself, you know, letting go of some of that emotional baggage maybe that the weight is helping you hold on to. There's a lot of really important positive ways to look at it. Like for me, when I was struggling to lose weight, when I would think about, oh, I want to be skinny. I want to look like this ex-actress. I never was able to be successful. But when I let go of those unrealistic expectations and I set goals for myself about how healthy I wanted to be and how I wanted to run a marathon, how I want to be able to hike up a mountain, and how I want to be able to ski with my kids in the winter, like then all of a sudden, so I literally lost weight. I got in better shape. I felt positive and inspired every day by my change. So it's little changes like that that make such a big difference. And, you know, educating yourself, like give yourself a goal to work towards, you know, and give yourself something fun to do to support your weight loss. Like with the Blueberry Council, we're doing a sweepstakes where the grand prize is coming to LA to meet me, and we're going to meet some top chefs and, like, learn some little changes we can make in the kitchen. You know, give yourself something fun. There's a lot of, like, suggestions at littlebluedynamos.com, and you can find, like, little things that inspire you along the way.
I'm excited. I'm ready to go. You've got me all hyped up.
I know. Are you ready?
I'm actually on my treadmill. As far as you know, I'm on my treadmill right now. So
you're breathing very well. Well,
yeah, I'm a natural. So we got the Biggest Loser finale coming up, and you know, for those of us who've seen it before, it's one of the most exciting and really just inspirational, just singular programs just to watch those final weigh-ins. But for those who haven't seen it, even if for those who haven't seen it, who maybe haven't really been watching this season or haven't been watching The Biggest Loser yet, I would encourage them to tune in. What can they expect? What's the atmosphere like when the finale kicks off?
So great. Well, first of all, if you haven't watched the season so far, you're right. You don't have to. I mean, obviously, I would love for people to watch the whole show and get to know all these great people. But the finale itself is such an amazing celebration, such a party, and it really helps sum up everybody's story. So you'll really get to that full sense of the journey they've been through, even if you just watched the last episode. But all the family of and loved ones of the people who've worked so hard are all there in the audience, screaming and cheering for their loved ones up there on stage. The transformations, the way that people have changed their lives that you can see with your own eyes is nothing short of a miracle. It's incredible to see their hard work pay off like that, and everybody gets dressed in beautiful dresses and nice suits, and they come out there and wow the crowd. Like, literally, your jaw will be on the ground for 2 hours straight.
That's awesome. Definitely. It's almost like the new year's, how, you know, I'm sure the day after this finale, there's going to be a lot of people running to the gym for the first time in a long time. And hopefully because of your show and because of you, they stick with it.
I hope so. Yeah. I feel like, you know, we can give people a reboot on January 29th of, their new year's little changes they're making.
Sounds good. So, Allison, thank you again for joining us. How can people follow you, what you've got going on, the million projects that you have going on at any one given time?
Feel free to find me on Twitter at @Allie_Sweeney. And my Facebook page has all my information, too. So feel free to come check me out at either of those places.
And check her out on the season finale of The Biggest Loser, and hopefully many more seasons of the show to come. Allison, thanks so much for joining us here on Ravishly.com.
Okay.
Thanks.